All right, well, right now we are going to the phones where we are joined by David Eaton. He's here to talk about The Parent's Guide to Smartphones, dealing with smartphones and teenagers and faith, and how do we use them in a biblical framework. David, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show. Good morning.
Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you joining us. We were chatting a little bit off the air, and I mentioned it. We just bought my oldest son. He got his first smartphone. He's doing so many athletics and stuff and needing to call and let us know where he's at and pick him up, so we finally broke down and got him one. And this is a timely interview, David. I'm looking forward to hearing what you had to say and the guidance you give. But I guess let me start with that question. We put it off as long as we could, honestly. I'm not a big fan of giving young kids, 10, 12 years old, their own phones. Do you have some guidelines? Because I know it's going to be different for every kid. But as you look at it, what are the guidelines or what are the things a parent should consider when they're first thinking about getting their teenager a smartphone to know, like, is it time? Should I wait? What age should it be? That kind of thing.
Well, at Axis, we like to think of the four essential smartphone conversations, and we'll get to those very shortly, but I'll definitely say you're asking something that is common to humanity. And the biggest question right now is, at what age should I get my kid a smartphone? And surprisingly, most parents end up getting their kid a phone, usually for sports, like you said, or because most families don't have landlines now. Do you fellas have landlines?
I do, because we have four kids at the house, so we maintain a landline so we can get a hold of them where we're gone.
No, we don't.
So imagine if you didn't have a landline, you would have bought that phone a lot sooner.
Yeah.
And yeah, for all of you listening, I'm the president at Axis. We help parents and their teenagers communicate and understand each other. What we do is what we call culture translation, and some people call that miracle work, but really helping parents understand what's going on in their kids' world. So axis.org/radio. But yeah, first of all, that question, what age should I get my kid a smartphone? It's not a good question to ask, because it assumes two things that are false. So if you haven't got your kid a smartphone, this interview is going to be really helpful. If you have, it's going to be really helpful, but it assumes two things are false. First, it assumes that your child doesn't have a smartphone. And even though they don't have one, they have friends who have them. And so you have to train, and you get to train your child to choose righteousness and make wise decisions on other kids' phones before they even get one. So I hope that makes sense, because they're just a friend away from saying, hey, look at this pic, man. And then the other thing is, when should I get my kid a smartphone, assumes that you have to go from them having 0% of a phone to 100% of a phone. And that's just not true. Last year, 2018, Google and Apple made huge strides forward putting the parent back in the driver's seat with their kid's phone. So it's something called Google Family Link and iOS 12 Screen Time that allows a parent to start off by saying, hey, I got you a phone. It's not your phone. It's my phone. It's God's phone. And I'm going to give you 15% access to it. We're not going to give you access to the App Store or Safari to start off with. We're just going to do this phone call thing, maybe texting. You don't even have to give them texting. So again, I think that's the starting point. But then, man, conversation one that you have to have with your kid is, most people think that technology is neutral, but if you look at Scripture, God creates a world that is not neutral. He creates a world that is very good. However, because of the poor decisions of humanity, it becomes cursed. And then because of Jesus, he is redeeming the world. He has redeemed the world. We get to join him in the renewal of all things. So I think it's really important in conversation number one to not think that technology is neutral, not think that it's inherently evil, but to say God made a world that is very good. It is now cursed, and it is being redeemed. So that invites the phone into the gospel. Instead of just, especially if you feel like a naggy parent, for people who are listening right now, if you feel like you're always complaining, very good, curse and redeem is conversation number one.
Now, with my granddaughter, she had, I don't know all the full details because it was parents that got it, but had limited access, only certain things like Kick to communicate and certain apps. So there was some limitations.
Right.
Now, she's very mature and responsible for her age. Do you look at the level of your child's abilities and maturity as part of the decision?
Yeah, completely. You want to be on a journey of, and this is actually the third conversation, is we're on a journey of trust with the destination of independence. So from the day one that you get this, the phone could be the greatest tool for discipling your child. It allows you to have interesting conversations that you might not have via text, and then it's just going to force the smartphone's a new university. I mean, it is forcing ideas on your granddaughter way sooner than she would have ever come in contact with those. So the good thing about it is that parents and grandparents get to start having conversations sooner and deeper. I tell you one of my favorite stories to tell. There was this young lady, it's a terrible story, but there was this young lady, she says, I've only had one real conversation with my dad. And when I heard that, I was like, wait, how have you only had one real conversation? You're having thousands of conversations every week on your phone. And if you've only had one real conversation with your dad, so much is going to be lost in translation. It's catastrophic. And then this young lady, she's a young millennial, she smiled. And they're like, why are you smiling? And then she says it again. She says, I've only had one real conversation with my dad, but we've never stopped having that one conversation.
Huh.
For all you parents out there, you are going to have a 60-year conversation with your kids. And from the ages of 8 to 18, you're going to be talking about iPads and iPhones and Fortnite and video games a lot. But remember, you get to have that one conversation. There's no one more influential than you. And, of course, AXIS is all about the one conversation, AXIS.org. And, again, we have some free stuff if you go to AXIS.org/radio, like a free parent guide coupon for you, because we have over 70 different parent guides and access to the culture translator. But, yeah, I think when you say we're on a journey of trust with a destination of independence, give them a goal. There is a goal that they are going to earn your trust. They don't necessarily start off with it, especially the smartphone. And then, at some point, you want them to be independent. Think of it like a driver's license. You know, my parents would have never given me the keys to the car when I turned 16 without going through 50 hours of driving and a couple written exams and driving exams. There are all kind of rules for it. It's the same thing with a smartphone. This is a complicated, amazing device that we should celebrate human ingenuity and look at how it's very good, cursed, and redeemed, but then also realize we can't just give it to them without any training at all.
Now, after they have it and they've been using it and they're getting that teenage years where you start to get more concerned about what they're looking at and doing, since you bought them the cell phone, and I mean, there's other things, it's your house, you set the rules, but you got to give them some space as well. What rules should we set on the phone, and where should we kind of back off and give them their freedom and independence, especially with teenagers?
Right, I'm going to tell you another horror story. I'm a part-time youth pastor. I'm also the president of AXIS, but I'm a part-time youth pastor. And I was asked to mediate between this mom and her daughter. It wasn't that official, but, you know, the mom trusts me, the daughter trusts me, their son too. And so I came over to the house, and it was so heated. Oh, my goodness. Like, the intensity and the anger, like, this daughter wouldn't even look at her mom. She was crying tears. You know, like, you can be sad tears. These were mad tears. So Tommy and Jeff, it was pretty intense. And I ended up totally failing. I ended up walking out of their house down the steps just feeling horrible because it didn't help them. When I was walking down the steps, this young lady, the 16-year-old daughter, said, the stricter the parent, the sneakier the child. And then, and I didn't have an answer for it. I have an answer now, but I didn't have one then. And then it ends up this young lady got two iPhones, one for her mom's house and one for her dad's house because her parents were divorced. So that's the horror story. So then I said, I got to figure this out. When you think about putting rules or boundaries around your kid's phone, it's not simple. I just have to say that. AXIS can make it easier, but we can't make it easy because it's just never going to be easy. But we think of seven domains. So the first domain is, what are your family's non-negotiables? What are things that are always wrong? That might be using the phone while driving. It should be sexting is wrong. It should be looking at pornography is wrong. You should have some kind of rules about how fast to return. The next two are location and time. And so I would highly encourage parents to think of a way to say that there are no smartphones in bedrooms at night, because temptation is intense. You have access to all the world's pornography on your phone, and then it's just going to keep you up late at night. I mean, there was a study from Europe that said YouTube's a great thing, but a pretty positive community, and so that's debatable and inside of itself, right? But it said one thing that does happen with YouTube is that you will sleep less. So you have location, you have time, like the amount of time you spend on it. So those are the first three. And the final four are internet, app store, texting, and social media. All four of these have different boundaries on them. And so, again, like I said, it's complicated, but you can start off with iOS screen time, and you can shut off the internet and app store. I would encourage that with your kid's first phone, like they're 14 years old, as they're kind of entering into that world. But eventually, as you open up some of those apps, some other things to know is know every app on their phone, and you can make that tied to your account. I would turn off deleting apps, because there are students who will, you know, maybe you're not ready to give your kid Snapchat yet. They'll go to school, they'll download Snapchat, log into their account. When they're coming home on the bus or right before you pick them up, they'll delete Snapchat. So, and you won't know that it's there, and then the next morning they'll download it again, and they'll delete it again, and they'll download it again, and they'll delete it again. And finally, there's a reason that in church nurseries, there's windows, and sometimes open air. It's like, it's just good to be seen being seen. There's an accountability aspect to it, and the phone promises this false type of privacy. And something you should tell your student over and over again is that we're better in community than we are in privacy. We're made for relationship. We're made for community. And so whether it's looking at your kid's phone periodically and trusting the Holy Spirit to prompt you on that, or there are some apps that allow you to monitor what they look at, not screen it, like not stop them from looking at it, but monitor it, and just them knowing that mom or dad is seeing what they're looking at, will introduce a level of like, hey, like, I can't just go do whatever I want at 1 a.m. with my phone in my bedroom.
David, I think this is, too, an ongoing conversation you have, because that's what we do. We have a program that I see every app they download, I know about.
Right.
I can set the times that they have it. So, like, his phone turns off at 9 o'clock. That's his bedtime. His phone's off. You know, so I can set all that. I see all the stuff that they have, and I can monitor that. And so I gave him the phone, and he's like, wait a minute. You can see everything I have? I said, yeah. You can set my time? Yeah. Well, I don't want the phone. Okay, I'll give it to your brother. Oh, well, no, wait a minute. You know, and but we did. I mean, the first couple of weeks, we kind of adjusted things. It's like I had it set for, like, he can only use it for so many hours in a day. And, you know, one Saturday they were out, and he got to his limit, and he was out with his friends, and the phone turned off. So we had to adjust that a little bit. But, I mean, it is kind of an ongoing conversation, isn't it? I mean, you set the rules, but those can change and adjust as they get used to it, you get used to it, you see how much you can trust them, how responsible they're being. It does change over time, doesn't it?
You want that. You want them to earn it. And at the same time, make the place that you're doing an awesome job, man. So good job. And for the parents out there who are listening or grandparents who are scared, just invite you, whenever you feel fear, you don't want a parent out of fear, invite the Holy Spirit into that fear and say, Holy Spirit, help me with this. I want to trust you. I want to make wise decisions. But try to always point towards the good thing that the phone can mess up. And so instead of just being like, I'm just going to look at it. Again, you aren't doing this because I'm your parent. I'm going to do that. Instead, be like, look, I know the dangers of this phone. It can cause us to have worse relationships. And this is actually conversation number two. I know we jumped around. Conversation number two is just, what is it for? And so what is a smartphone for? Oh, well, it's, you know, so we can stay in contact with each other, you know, deepen relationships and have access to the stuff. And then you go to like a restaurant and you're like, that dad is like checking his email right now. That mom's on Pinterest. That daughter's on Snapchat. And that son is playing, you know, Minecraft. I thought this was supposed to enhance and deepen our relationships. And yet we can't even have a meal together. We can't even make eye contact together. Clearly, what is it for? Like, we're missing, like, the best usage of this. And so, again, I think what is it for is a great conversation about the phone. It's a great conversation about Snapchat or Instagram or Fortnite or, you know, email on my phone. Like, when I'm not traveling, I delete email on my phone because I don't have self-control. And I will just check email at night. I'll have, like, my one-year-old, like, crawling over on the floor to come give me a hug and nuzzle with me, and instead, I'm one of those dads, you know, that wrist movement where you just kind of like look at the phone. I've had to create that boundary for myself. So abstinence instead of moderation in that case. So no email on my phone when I'm not traveling.
Probably one thing we should touch on that I'm sure there's a lot of families that deal with this, shared parenting. One parent gets the phone. You had the rule, no, they don't get it till a certain age or whatever. What do you do in that situation?
Thank you for asking that. I think you have to go into it realizing that the phone is a way for you to manipulate your other spouse or your other ex-spouse. And it will drive and your child, they're awesome, they're gorgeous, they're intelligent, they're athletic, they're amazing, they're interesting, but they will use that to manipulate and get two parents to fight. So whether the parents are married or they're not married, so you have to go into it and you have to over-communicate or else you'll end up, and I mean, it's like classic. I have a very small youth group. And the families that are divorced, these kids have two phones each. And I've even been invited to come to court to testify as an expert witness because the parents could not agree. So usually what happens is one parent might try to control the other parent. And so they'll either get more lax or more, you know, with the rules or more intense. And then that will make the person who's more intense with the rules add more rules. And that makes the other person get less rules, more rules, less rules. They're trying to fight for their kids to see who can be the favorite parent. And then all of a sudden, everyone loses. So I think a great way to do this is something called a smartphone contract. And again, I love what you were talking about. It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress, but it kind of lays out, here are the different areas. This is what we care about. This is what we agree to. And then you got to realize that you can't control the other parent. And so when they're at their house, it's up to them on how they use it. But then the question of who buys it, it's really messy. So if you can have that conversation early on, we've got to compromise but be in agreement on this. Otherwise, it's going to be a mess for our kids.
We're talking with David Eaton. He's the president of Axis and joining us to talk about smartphones, teenagers, and faith. David, once again, tell us about Axis and the work that you guys do and the resources you guys have.
Yeah, so if you just think of C.S. Lewis and MTV, if they made a baby, they would name their baby Axis. So we have a team of about 25, and our job is to be parents and grandparents' research assistants when it comes to student culture. And when we get to speak to students, our job is to, you know, encourage and kind of reveal the gospel to them in kind of through a modern light, through different technology and media. So what C.S. Lewis MTV, we call it culture translation. If you go to our website, axis.org, you'll see a handful of resources that we've created with in mind for the busy parent. So even for this, axis.org/radio, we have a resource called the Culture Translator. It's a weekly email. It has 55,000 parents on it. Comes out every Friday, and it'll say, here are three things going on in your student's world. Like, there's this new YOLO app right now, and it goes alongside Snapchat. And, you know, et cetera, but you wouldn't have known about it. And so if you don't know about it, then you might not be able to have a conversation about it. And then I said, like, we have over 70 parent guides, which are 8-page briefings. And it just says, so maybe your daughter really wants an Instagram account. And you're like, I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet, but I also don't trust Wikipedia to inform me. Go to Axis, get our parent guide. And so that's it. We're just in parents' corners. We believe no one's more influential, and we create a whole suite of resources to help them. Hey, the fourth conversation, I just want to make sure we get that. The fourth conversation is you can tell me anything. So the first conversation is, how is something very good? How is it cursed? And how can we as a family redeem it? The second conversation is, what is it for? That's the conversation about wisdom. The third conversation is kind of like driver's ed for the phone. You know, we're on a journey of trust with the destination of independence. Just like, you don't want to be in your child's passenger seat forever. You want them to have independence with their phone, just like you want them to have independence with a car. And the fourth one is all about trust. So the stricter the parent, the sneakier the child. That quote from that young lady assumes a lack of trust. And to put that, to tell your kid, you can tell me anything. I'm not going to overreact. I'm going to be fair. I love you. I want to see you successful. I want to see you making the right decisions. Because if they don't feel that they can tell you anything, they're just going to go look it up online. And so, again, you can tell me anything. That trust relationship is really, you can make all kind of boundaries, and like having a high schooler or a junior higher live in your house is like having live-in tech support. They're always going to know more. They're just going to know more. And like, you can try to outsmart them. And some of you dads driving on the road are like, I'm an IT professional. Well, maybe you can, but kids will find a way. I mean, we're humans. We find a way around things unless we realize what the heart of the issue is.
Yeah. Hey, David, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a great conversation. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. And your website again?
Axis.org, AXIS.org. Go to /radio for some free stuff. And again, thanks so much, fellas.